One of us is happy.
I'll see you, playoff.
And the other is unhappy. The Jets beat the Steelers.
Yeah, bring it.
I live weights. Took me a second to figure out what you meant by that. Say it with me, gentlemen.
How about them Cowboys?
They didn't want to do it, and I made them do it. Mike McCarthy is the coach of the year right this minute. You can't spell Rush without MVP.
Your boy Greeny's high.
I got to call a timeout.
I really like this job. And it's really easy when the Cowboys are exciting and interesting.
There were just two magic words. Ladies and gentlemen, all right. Woo! 62. I've heard that ball might be worth $2 million. Would you give it back to Judge?
I don't know.
You
buy
know.
A cup of ching.
Oh, yeah, I'm selling that rock like a D-boy.
Throw me some scratch.
Greeny didn't answer.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Maybe there's a little bit of...
Filet of fish, Greeny. Filet of fish.
You should eat everything with a utensil.
Dive.
Fork.
Duck.
Spoon.
Dodge.
Knife.
Dip.
Spork.
Dodge.
Straw.
Dodge.
That's not American.
That
right
all
there,
works.
Greeny.
Oh, that's so good. We just have the best job in the entire world. Thank you for getting up with us this morning and every morning. It's a football Friday. It was sort of last night's game. It was only barely resembling football. But with that, we are live at the Seaport. We are brought to you by Chase, Canty, and Pryor. RC is here. David Pollock's jumping in. Let's take you to the pictures from last night. It was a tough watch, but it was a fascinating affair. Game of the night, a mile high. Russell Wilson and the Broncos hosting the Colts. Third quarter tied at 6 on 4 field goals. Wilson going deep. Referee gets in the way. Chris Canty, what happened?
Well, you usually see a rub route between two receivers. Right there, the official got into it. The Zebras setting the pick on the DB from the Colts, and then a jump ball and two teammates fighting for the ball. I don't know why they were there at the same time.
Both receivers in the right. One way or another, it leads to this, and it's a blocked field goal attempt. Broncos fans can't stand it.
Another wasted red zone opportunity, Greeny, for an offense that has trouble scoring points. You can't give away those shots.
No, their best offense was Matt Ryan throwing the ball last night, because he throws a second pick of the night to Caden Stearns, and you see the frustration from Matty Ice. That sets up a Denver field goal. So the Broncos are up 9-6. Now we're in the fourth quarter. Third and 13 for Russ. What is this?
I have no idea, Greeny. I don't know who he's throwing the ball to, but it just feels like a situation where he's being way too careless, especially with an offense that has had many opportunities in plus territory as they did last night.
By the way, he gets lit up at the end of the play also.
Well, he deserved that after throwing that pass.
Perhaps. He would be examined, but he would stay in the game. So now we're in the fourth quarter. It's still 9-6. Now, critical decisions being made by the oft-questioned coaching staff of the Broncos, Nathaniel Hackett and company. Fourth down inside the 30, fourth and two. They're going for it. This one they get on a nice quick pass to Eric Saubert, so the drive is alive. 3-point lead, 2 minutes left. Defense hasn't allowed a touchdown. How do you do this?
I don't understand it, Greeny. You can't throw interceptions in the red zone. But if you're Nathaniel Hackett, why are you throwing the ball in the first place? Run the ball, kick a field goal. It's a 6-point lead with 2 minutes to go.
So many things they did last night didn't make sense. And, of course, it leads to this, a 2-minute drive by an offense that had done nothing all night long. That was a 17-yard pass to Alec Pierce. He's a 17-yard run for Deion Jackson. Colts set up fourth and six from the 13. This is a 31-yard attempt. Chase McLaughlin, and we're going to overtime. But some of the home fans weren't interested. The Bronco fans, they don't care. Win, lose, I'm getting out of here. Colts get the ball first, second and one. This is Paris Campbell. They move the ball down and they kick a field goal.
Yeah, this is pretty good by Matt Ryan. Being able to flush what happened in regulation and operate the offense in overtime set his team up to get some points.
So it's 12-9 Indy. So you know what that means. Denver has to score. A field goal ties it. A touchdown wins it. Now they're moving the ball. Now Jerry Jeudy is inexplicably open for 37 yards. So the Broncos are on the move and that sets up this. Third and two from the six. Bear in mind, the field goal ties it. They first run it on the third down to Melvin Gordon. That sets up a fourth and one. Now they're lining up to go for it. Russell's under center. They don't like what they see. They call a timeout. They talk it over. They go back. Now he's in the shotgun. Chris, what did we think?
I hated the play call to go for it right here. I thought they should have took a field goal. Up until that point, they were 3 of 13 in the red zone on the season. I don't know why Nathaniel Hackett didn't understand. Your team is just not good in the red zone. Take the field goal. Try to get a stop and get the ball back. But at the worst, you're tying the football game instead of losing.
Instead, they lose it, and K.J. Hamler is wide open in the end zone. You see the frustration. It felt like that spoke for the entire Broncos team. Let's listen.
It's very simple. I think at the end of the day, I got to be better. I got to play better. This team, you know, this defense played their butts off tonight. you know, I let the team down tonight. And but the good thing is, one thing I know about myself is I'm going to respond.
We wanted to win the game. It ended up being 4th and 1 and got the go to go for it and thought that was a good decision. Wanted to put the ball in Russell's hands. The timeout before it was to kind of get a feel for what they were doing. And so the run didn't look as good as we had hoped it would have and gave us a chance with Russell. And that's all you can ask for in that situation to win the game.
All right, so so many things that I need to have explained here. And as you see, Ryan Clark is up with us this morning. And David Pollack is with us from Lawrence, Kansas, which is where game day will be tomorrow. David, we've not yet heard from you on this. I'm giving you the floor. Russell Wilson, the high-profile acquisition for Denver through 5 games. It's been a disaster. Last night was hideous. What's your primary takeaway?
Well, it's funny. Nathaniel Hackett says what? He said, I wanted to put the ball in Russ's hands. It's weird. Week one, we could have another debate about that, couldn't we? Because week one, he didn't want to. He wanted to kick a 700-yard field goal. So I think it's been a hot mess. You know, it's interesting. Russ doesn't go from being a really, really good player to all of a sudden struggling. I think you can watch the offense. Even in the play where the ref, you know, has great great little pass interference for the defense. Two guys in the same spot. I mean, I think they need a lot more creativity. I think Russ obviously struggling, but it's got to fall on the coaches. It's got to fall on them having a better identity. It ain't like they ain't got weapons. They got plenty of weapons in Denver. They got to use them a heck of a lot better than they are.
Yeah, and they've lost one of the best running backs, their best running back in Javonte Williams. But still, RC, the names on the backs of the jerseys, including the one who wears number 3, should be better than this. So in your mind, how much of this is on Russell and how much of it is on the coaching?
Well, I think first off, let me start with coaching. Coaching matters, right? We said that. We wouldn't applaud Bill Belichick in the way that we do if we didn't believe that coaching was extremely important in this game. Now, what coaching doesn't do is, like what David said, make a really, really good football player a bad one. Russell Wilson has to execute better. Russell Wilson has to be the player that they brought him there to be. I will say this. I will back off of me being so upset about the Broncos' Let's Ride now that I've heard the entirety of the noise or the sound from after the game. He did say he needed to play better. He did say he needed to be better. He said the defense had done everything that they needed to do. But that was why you brought Russell Wilson here, because you knew you had a top-tier defense. At least with Javonte Williams, you knew you had a top-tier running attack. And bringing Russell Wilson in, a guy who came in and once said or immediately said, it's about how many championships we'll win, means that instantly we're a team that's competing. That's not what we're seeing. We're seeing a team that's one of the worst we've ever seen in the red zone. We're seeing a quarterback who can't even play at an efficient level, much less a good level. We're looking at a guy who is extremely lost at the quarterback position, which is what he's done his entire life. And so when I watch Russell Wilson, what I see is this. It's a facade, right? It's fake, right? It's not real. He is trying to throw you off of what's happening on the grass. And what's happening on the grass is not at the level it needs to be. And Russell Wilson has to take accountability for that. Russell Wilson has to be better about that. And all fingers should be pointing at him to right the ship in Denver.
That's all fair. And we've spent a lot of this morning on Russell Wilson, and I'm glad that we have, because he's very famous and he makes $250 million. And, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected.
Yeah.
But let's face it, the coaching on this team has been a joke. It has been embarrassing. And I think there are people waking up this morning across America wondering, should they fire the coach today? Did Nathaniel Hackett actually just say, I got the go to go for it? Is that what I just heard him say? I understand he has a situational assistant coach on his side, but that guy shouldn't be telling him, yeah, 4th and 1 in overtime, you're either going to go for it or kick the field goal. Since the beginning of time, that's a coach's decision to make. And the sequence of plays they ran made no sense. 3rd and 2, we run it into the line. 4th and 1, instead of kicking the field goal, we're going to go for it. We're going to go with shotgun and we're going to throw up. Nothing they did made sense last night. The explanations don't make sense. I get it. Russell Wilson is going to get a lot of the blame. Chris Canty, because he's Russell Wilson. But the coaching on this team, they can't even get a play called before the play clock runs out. The fans are disgusted with it. I've never seen anything look this bad from a coaching standpoint.
Yeah, Greeny, my big takeaway last night after watching that game is both of them coaches going to get fired at the end of the season if they make it to the end of the season. And with Nathaniel Hackett specifically, like, we're talking about this team coming into Week 4 being the most penalized team in the National Football League. And as far as their red zone ineptitude, being on track to be the worst team since the 2012 Kansas City Chiefs. And that was a team that only had had 2 wins on the entire season. Last night, 8-plus territory possessions, they were only able to come up with 9 points. 0-for-4 in the red zone, Russell Wilson throwing 2 red zone interceptions, and you could argue whether he should have been throwing the ball in the first place in those instances. And then you're also talking about a blocked field goal. How is that not a reflection on the coaching staff? Again, we can blame Russ. He should know better in those situations to protect the football, but we also got to know that the head coach in certain instances has to protect his players from himself. Run the football at the end of the fourth quarter with a little over 2 minutes to go, and the Indianapolis Colts not having any timeouts, and go up 6 points, and then let your defense eat because they had been feasting all night.
That was a terrible one, too. I will get to Ryan. I'll come in a second, but let me get Brooke in. Hasn't had a chance. The coaching, it's the Russell. What are you seeing?
Well, Greeny, you didn't get my Westworld reference, but how about an Office Space? I mean, this is, what would you say you do here? If you're not making that decision to go for it, whether or not, what are you doing? Like, it is baffling to me, the lack of accountability that this coaching staff has, that it kind of feels like the buck just keeps getting passed around, and then whenever it comes back around and somebody finally makes a decision, it's the wrong one. I am frustrated. I'm sure they are frustrated. I was just Googling when the Broncos bye week is, because I don't know that Nathaniel Hackett gets to the bye week, because this has been so bad in every single way.
I think it has. Remember, there's new ownership there, and so, you know, clean slate. Now, the new ownership did give Russell the contract, but they didn't hire the coach. RC, go.
Listen, we know Nathaniel Hackett is bad. This is not new news. We knew this week one. We knew he had a brain trust that helped him make decisions, which is why they did kick the 700-yard-plus field goal that David Pollack is talking about instead of putting the football in Russell's hand. What I like about the situation last night is this. He said, I knew I made a bad decision in week one. This week, I'm going to make a better decision. This week, I'm going to make the decision that puts the football in the hands of my quarterback that was brought here to take us to the next level. And I really don't mind the play calls. I don't like the shotgun, but I don't mind the play calls, because to me, if you run it on 3rd and 2 or on 3rd and 3, you've made the decision that this is 2-down territory. So what Nathaniel Hackett needs to do is have 2 plays that make sense in running them back to back. And I like the fact that he said on the last play, I'm going to put it in my future Hall of Famers' hands. That makes sense to me. And at that point, Russell Wilson has to make a better play. Would we still be on here talking about how putrid the coaching is if Russell Wilson had thrown that ball to KJ Hamler? Absolutely. But we'd be talking about it in the sense that it's a step forward, because Nathaniel Hackett understood who his quarterback was, and his quarterback came through for him. And so where the coaching staff has to get better as a whole, and I think when you put a coaching staff together with no experienced coordinators and head coach, you get this, but Russell Wilson is supposed to help them be better, and he's not doing that.
You look skeptical.
Yeah, I don't understand how much information Nathaniel Hackett needs to have in order to recognize that his team, including his quarterback, is bad in the red zone. I mean, you've had 14 red zone trips, and you only got 3 red zone touchdowns? What makes you think it's going to be different this time around after watching the game? You were 0-for-3 up until that point in the red zone in that very game. At some point, you have to acknowledge this is who we are as a team, and we're not very good. Let's kick the field goal, tie the football game, and then see if our defense can make a play to give us another opportunity.
There we go.
RC, that's how you better than a loss.
I got you. RC.
A tie is better than a loss.
RC, I got you. I got you on this one, RC, because here's what RC is saying to you, Canty. The dude was wide open. The play was a great play call.
Thank you.
He was open. Russ Wilson, the coaches called a play for him to execute. That was wide open. It's incumbent upon your $3 billion quarterback to throw the ball to who's open. Everybody in the stadium could see that. The ones that were still there that chose to stick around.
Do I have the ability to say we're just going to the full 20-minute A's here and just stay on this? Go ahead, David. I'm just producing the show from the chair now. David McKinnon is our producer. I'm just telling you right now, I'm going commercial-free for 7 more minutes. Canty, go ahead. Fight back, because I'm on your side.
No, all I'm simply saying is you can say the guy is wide open, but Russell Wilson has been missing receivers in the red zone
That's
all
the problem.
Season.
Yes.
That's the issue. If you're the head coach and you understand that, why aren't you kicking the field goal rather than saying, let's Russ cook? Russ ain't been cooking all year.
Here's what I'll say to you. I just want to hear your response to this. He coached that like he has a quarterback who makes $250 million instead of the quarterback who he actually has right now. The quarterback he actually has right now is not a $250 million player, and we saw it all night. We've seen it all year.
Greeny, this is what happens when you have guys like Chris Canty and Brooke Pryor over there and you. All you very intelligent people overthink things. All of you smart humans, right? Y'all get in these rooms together and y'all have these 6 o'clock production meetings and y'all smart each other to death. This is not about intelligence, right? This is about doing what's right. This is about the feel. The feel says this. The feel of coaching says that week one, I made a bad decision based on who my quarterback is supposed to be. And no matter what I've seen from him, he's supposed to be a guy that makes that throw. He's supposed to be a guy that makes that play. I took that from him week one. I took that from us. I took it from the fans. I took it from the organization. I took it out of number three's hands. This time, I'm not doing that. And to me, this is just my opinion, I'd rather lose that way if I'm Nathaniel Hackett by calling a play that gets open, by putting the football in the hands of my $256 million quarterback than Ty being scared, than Ty making the decision like I did last time that took the football out of my playmaker's hands. I don't care because he's not... Nathaniel Hackett will not have this job if Russ doesn't become who they paid him to be anyway. So it doesn't matter if he kicks the field goal. Russ has to step up, and you got to give him opportunities to do that. Nathaniel Hackett not only do that, but they called a play where dude got wide open. He got to make that play.
Go ahead, Canty.
All I'm simply saying is we keep going back to this week one choice, and you had a better chance at being able to win that game by going for it on 4th and 5 as opposed to kicking a 60-yard field goal with Brandon McManus, who hadn't made a 60-yard field goal away from Mile High in damn near a decade. In last night's instance, you actually had a chance to tie the game. You didn't have that choice in week one. So we got to stop using that as context to try to explain why Nathaniel Hackett thought it was a good idea to go for it on 4th and 1. It was a terrible idea based on the track record that you had seen from your team in the first 4 games and up until that point in last night's game.
Here's another thing, David Pollack, is that the interception that Wilson throws with a 3-point lead with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter in chip shot field goal range when a 6-point lead would have felt like a 4-touchdown advantage. That pick right there, that is the play that should have said to the coaching staff, I can't let this guy decide if I'm going to win today or not. And I don't, yes, maybe the coach is going to get fired if Russell doesn't turn it around. But his job is to put his team in the best position to win this game. And last night, that wasn't putting the ball in Russell Wilson's hands. Go ahead, RC. Your hand is raised. Yeah, go ahead.
So if we are playing basketball, right? Let's go play basketball. We're playing basketball. Steph Curry has had a terrible night, right? And your team is up by 2. Are you going to get mad if Steph Curry gets to the spot and shoots a 3-pointer and misses it? No, because no matter what happened the entire night, your belief is if you put the ball in his hand in a critical moment, even if a layup ties the game, you'd rather have the football in Steph Curry's hand because you've seen him do this forever. The reason he's on your team is to do that. That's what Nathaniel Hackett did. And I get it, but we can't talk out of both sides of our mouth. And Chris, I understand what the numbers say. Yes, week one's decision was a bad decision based on opportunity, based on the probability of what would work, right? On the 64-yard field goal versus the 4th and 5 going for it. I get all that. And this situation was different, but it's not about that game. It's not about those analytics. It's about what this means for this team going forward. And for what this meant for this team going forward, that was the right decision. We can't sit here and critique it based on the fact that it didn't work because you know and I know if Russell throws that ball to KJ Hamler, we are speaking about this differently. And it's not like I'm making it up that he was open. Because he was. Yeah. I do not think this was the wrong decision. I think this was bad execution.
That's fair. Go ahead, David Pollack. Go.
I don't know that we'd be speaking about it differently because it still was one of the worst football games in the history of the world. But I will say this, though. Like, I think there is a world where both can be right. Nathaniel Hackett has not been impressive. He's been very underwhelming. Russell Wilson has been very underwhelming. Like, both of them, obviously, you know, Nathaniel Hackett's going to continue to grow as a coach. He's got to continue to grow, but Russell's got to do better. You can't pay your quarterback that much and go, oh, run the football. That's stupid. That's not the world we live in the NFL anymore. That's not what you do regardless. Cooper Rush doesn't do that, for God's sakes. Like, Russell Wilson has to become more. He has to do better. He has weapons. He has to perform at a better level. So does Nathaniel Hackett.
All right, let me get some final words here from Canty and then Brooke. Go.
I'm just waiting for David and RC to explain to me why Nathaniel Hackett didn't run the ball when they had it 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and they were up by three in the red zone. Why not run the football and then kick a field goal on fourth down? Yeah. Can somebody please explain that decision to me? Because that's the part of it that I don't understand. You don't even have to go for it on the fourth and one if you run the football at the end of the fourth quarter and kick the field goal and go up six.
RC, I got you. In the big moments, in the primetime games, RC, in the Super Bowl, when the Rams needed a play or when Brady's needed a play over the years, do we just go, hey, let's just run the football? Is that how we work anymore in the NFL? Is that what we do?
I don't think bringing up a short yardage situation in the Super Bowl with Russell Wilson is exactly where you want to go. You may not be making the point you think you're making. Go ahead, Brooke, final
word. My point here is that as a coach, if Nathaniel Hackett was a better coach, he would have recognized that Russell Wilson was having a bad night. When you were having a bad night in that situation, do not put him in that spot.
That's right.
He has not been good in the red zone all night. What has changed in those last couple seconds that's going to suddenly switch the flip here? So flip the switch here. I'm with Canty. I think that it was a bad coaching decision. It is still also on Russell Wilson, just bad all the way around.
All right. So anyway, this was terrific. I'm now going to get yelled at by the producers of the show for having done that by myself unilaterally. But we'll continue in a moment. The whole crew is here. We're fired up. Up next, how about them Cowboys? You'll hear what has their coach all upset this morning and why it might actually help them out west this weekend. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up. Hey, Brooke Pryor, Pee Wee football, what exactly goes on here?
I mean, just, there he goes. Friday night tights. I don't know if this was on Friday night, but he destroyed that guy. And that the defender had how many pounds on him? How many inches on him? I mean, that's how I feel when I see Christmas decor in stores right now. Halloween is coming. Get out of here. I'm going straight to the Halloween section.
A little left-handed stiff arm from the Pee Wee football. Well done. All right, as we continue, more on the disaster in Denver. If you weren't following RC on Twitter last night, you should have been. He will explain his best tweets. And let me tell you, today they are epic as we continue. Plus, how much trouble is Bama in if Bryce Young can't play tomorrow? What if he misses several games? David Pollack will answer that question. But first, we'll see if he can answer this one. Which is the only team to ever beat Nick Saban as a 20-point underdog? Texas A&M is that this weekend. We'll see how Pollack does next. Watch and Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and here we go. Sneaky Hembo is coming for Pollock. He's in Lawrence, Kansas for game day tomorrow. Nick Saban is more than a 20-point favorite tomorrow against Texas A&M. There's only one team that has ever beaten Saban as a 20-point underdog. David, do you know which team that was?
Oh, there's no way it can be Jimbo last year. Like, not with Hembo. He's not going to give me A&M from a year ago. That would be too easy, right? Like, that's... Is it Kyle Whittingham, Utah, in the Sugar Bowl?
No. I hate this question. Hembo was not even here to defend himself. The answer is Louisiana Monroe in 2007, which was Saban's first season.
His first year!
At Alabama.
Yeah.
I hate the question. No, don't act like that's a reasonable question to ask. No human being alive should have known that. Hembo is a very small man, and he's trying to find ways to get wins, and that was just a cheap question. I discount it. In fact, I would like the last minute stricken from the records of this program. Okay, let's do the tweets. It's time for Ryan Clark to explain his tweet.
Get in the gym, bro. Well, I just got buffalo chicken dip. Baker.
Bruh. Lord.
As everyone laughs at the way I read your tweet. I can't even do it with a straight face. All right, here we go. There is no more entertaining follow on Twitter than Ryan Clark while games are going on. And last night he was tweeting up a storm. I will now read some of these tweets and he will explain them. The first. All of us right now, LOLOL, act like the man doesn't even deserve to hydrate. Looking at Russ like you were supposed to turn water to wine, wasn't you? RC, explain that tweet.
Hey, it's just the picture. Why he looking at him like that, though, Greeny? The man is simply trying to hydrate. If you've ever been to Mile High, which I have, and I've almost died there, it is very difficult to breathe, and your lips get chapped, and you get parched, and all Russell Wilson is trying to do is make sure that his throat is clear so he can make a call. And Melvin Gordon is looking at the man like he don't deserve water. Like he's out there trying to drink Mike's secret stuff. Or this is Paulo Costa's juice that he's drinking before fights in the UFC. This is very tough. And I feel it. You know what? I always tell people this. Expectations are the greatest breeding ground for disappointment. That's what Melvin Gordon's face said. I had high hopes. I thought we was going to win. I thought we were going to be explosive on offense. And it was all because of you. They said that you was going to be different. That Drew Locke was gone. That Teddy Bridgewater was in Miami. It ain't no different. You said you was gonna be better, but you ain't. And he was like, everything you do, he hit him with the Oprah. I'm sorry. Continue, RC. Green.
This is a tour de force. All right, the next tweet, Ryan tweeted, I so shamed. I was wrong about Matt Ryan. I said the Colts would be good. Dog, I was super wrong. Like white socks with black shoes wrong. Raisins on potato salad wrong. I mean wrong like old Kanye turning into new Kanye wrong. I should be dang fired. RC, explain that tweet.
First of all, Greeny, I found out that people actually do eat raisins on potato salad. That is absolutely disgusting. Raisins are barely good as just being raisins, and to put them on potato salad, you are asking to never be invited to the cookout ever. ever again. Now, as far as white socks and black shoes, if somebody does have on white socks and black shoes, Greeny, you should not mess with them, especially if they're G-Nikes, which are Air Force Ones, or Cortezes. This means they are about that action. That is a very wrong person to deal with. And that's how wrong I was about Matt Ryan. I was like, ooh, Matt Ryan's going to be a stabilizing force. They're going to run the football. They're going to play great defense. He could be good enough to just win games. I'm a dang lie. And I get it. They won a game. You know why they won a game? Because this was like Aaron Judge playing against Ohtani in a dang home run derby that didn't have enough time to hit more than 10 home runs. This was absolutely terrible, and that's how they won. Matt Ryan has not been good at all. He's turned the football over. He hasn't been a leader as far as what he's been able to implement on the field, and he's helped this team in no way. This team has been searching for Andrew Luck and journeymen since Andrew Luck retired. It's about time that they say, we're going to tear this whole thing up. Let's go get a rookie, and we can rebuild. Because Matt Ryan, Matty Ice, man, he is more like Matty lukewarm water.
Yeah, it is
and
disappointing.
It's baptismal water, too.
No question about it. All right, one more tweet from RC. He tweeted, "For you, don't slander Silky Russ, folks. I made one simple statement on Get Up. I said 003 wasn't an all-time great, and it's a chance you could end up ordering McDonald's on Uber Eats instead of Russ chefing hibachi. And, how's all those tweets and DMs y'all sent me going? RC, explain that tweet."
Oh, yeah, Greeny. I was mad. I was jealous. I didn't know nothing. Russ was an all-time great. Dan Graziano is on text messages with Himbo sending me stats for an entire weekend. He is an all-time great, Ryan. You implement Russ, and you automatically get fired. You get hibachi. You can order the steak and the shrimp. You can even get scallops. You can get it medium rare, or however you want it. That is a lie. All you can get is a quarter pounder with cheese, and they're going to leave the onions on, and they're not going to listen to you. And the shake machine is broken in Denver. The shake machine is not working, so if you Uber eats it, you ain't getting what you want. This offense, Greeny, I've won a game 11-10 before, and in winning that game, I was excited because I was like, even without offense, we could find a way to win. That's not what you want, though. The Denver Broncos are winning games defensively, and they're getting absolutely no help. Last night should be an opportunity for the defense to walk into the locker room and feel good about themselves, to say that we are trending upward, that we can put this team in position to win any game, and we have a quarterback that can do it. That is not what's happening. Russ threw 40 touchdowns a few years ago, and we said it is his time to be the face of the quarterbacks in this league, and that has never happened. And if he's already on the decline at this point, what happens in Denver for the next 3 to 5 years? This is not the type of stir fry we were expecting to eat.
That is so well done, and it is an analogy that for once even I get. So let me come out very quickly. Look, we spent 20 minutes talking about Russell Wilson and the Broncos. Let me just get a final thought on this from each of you. Chris, is it going to get better? Because there is some risk in saying, well, it's 5 games. He's got a long-term contract. Nathaniel Hackett, I don't know how long he's going to be there, but Russell is going to be the quarterback of the Broncos for a long time. Is this going to get better?
No, I don't think it's going to get better. How can I assign that level of success to Russell Wilson when I don't know whether or not the head coach can do the job? And we got to keep in mind, this is the first time Nathaniel Hackett is wearing a play calling hat as well as the head coaching responsibilities. And through 5 games, it's proven to be too much for him. So I will say this, they committed to Russell Wilson for the long term. This is not a regime that decided to hire Nathaniel Hackett. This is not a Walton Penner group decision. And so we could be talking about them moving on from the head coach because you're not going to be able to move on from the quarterback.
Brooke, what is your sense of that?
I mean, look, I think I'm ride or dying with Chris Canty today because I agree. I don't think it's going to get better. And to me, the lasting image of that game and the lasting thing I think of, and it's not Russ walking off and saying, let's ride from the podium. It's KJ Hamler slamming his helmet down after he didn't get the ball when he was wide open. To me, that just signals that there is an issue within this locker room. Do these offensive players trust Russ? Do they look to him to be a leader? Or is he, like we talked about earlier, is he separate from the rest of this team? I mean, is there buy-in? Is there cohesion? We need to see that for everybody to get on the same page, and it's just not happening. When you, I understand that you're emotional and it's an outburst in the moment, but I wouldn't have expected that if there was a level of respect and buy-in with Russ, and we're just not seeing it.
All right, so look, it is time to move on to other things here because there's a lot more to get to on a Football Friday. But last night, you know, sometimes the least interesting games provoke the most interesting conversation, and we've had that here. In the meantime, college football, the biggest story overwhelmingly this weekend is the question of the status of Alabama quarterback Bryce Young's shoulder. He suffered a sprained AC joint on his throwing shoulder last weekend versus Arkansas. Yesterday, Nick Saban with an update on his quarterback telling ESPN ESPN, Bryce has been practicing, and all week he's been saying that he could play. But that's going to be a medical decision. We've still got some time, and I want to talk more to Bryce. He's the only one who knows how he feels, because it's going to be a pain tolerance thing. He's a tough kid and great competitor. We'll see where he is on game day. So this was a game that before the season we thought was going to be one of the real tests for Alabama against Texas A&M. Doesn't feel like it's setting up that way. How significant is the shoulder right now of the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, David Pollack?
Well, it's significant too, Greeny, because Bryce Young is not a big dude. You know, he's a slightly built guy. He doesn't have a big frame. So now you think about taking hits the rest of the season on that shoulder, you know it's going to come back to haunt him. It's a matter of when, you know, not if. But here's the thing with Alabama. Alabama, they rush players back. They expect a level of competition. They will put people on the field that are not feeling 100%. That is absolutely part of their culture. I don't think you should do that with Bryce Young. You're playing A&M this week, who struggles to score points. Bad. I mean, they have stunk offensively throughout the majority of this season. So Milroe, who came in last week, who is exciting, Greeny. Next week, you might be talking about this guy even more, about how electric he is, how dynamic he is running the football. Think Jalen Hurts versus Tua. He is a great athlete. The offense will be built around what he can do with his feet. More screen passes, more QB draws. The run game will pick up big time for Alabama with him at the quarterback helm. But I think you can win this game without Bryce Young. I just don't know if Nick Saban will let that happen, because he always wants to push guys and grind guys to make sure that they're always pushing themselves, always trying to get on the field.
To be clear, you're saying they can win this week without Bryce Young if they have to. Can they win several games? If he, and it does not sound like this is going to be the case, but there's the schedule. A tough one with Tennessee. The game with LSU is lurking. That's a long way off, and one would assume he'll be back. But can they win without him consistently if they are forced to?
I don't think so. I don't think they can win what Alabama wants to do. Alabama wants to win it all. I don't think they'll win it all without Bryce Young. Bryce Young, think about, Greeny, go to the Texas game. They couldn't run the football. They were struggling. He pulls a rabbit out of the hat off the corner blitz and dips underneath it, goes and scrambles and makes a play. I think his ability to make plays, listen, they're still finding out about these wide receivers. They don't have a wide receiver they can trust yet. The passing game is not elite like it was a year ago, but you know, I think they need Bryce Young. They need him to be healthy. And next week, you play Tennessee. Hendon Hooker, he's one of the favorites for the Heisman Trophy right now with what he's been able to do. It's up-tempo. They can fly. It'll be at Tennessee. They're going to have to score points. So I look for Bryce Young next week more than I would want him to play this week against A&M.
All right, we'll keep a very close eye on that situation. Meanwhile, tomorrow afternoon, we've got another good one. The 118th annual Red River Showdown game, Texas and Oklahoma from the Cotton Bowl. It's noon Eastern. It's on ABC, and you can watch it on the ESPN app. We roll along on our Football Friday. What a rush for Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys. The bulletin board material Dallas will use ahead of Sunday's showdown with the Rams. That's on the way. Let's get up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and our next stop is L.A., where the Cowboys will play the defending Super Bowl champion Rams on Sunday. Our friends in Vegas don't buy Dallas just yet. Mike McCarthy found that out yesterday. Listen.
How often do you use the point spread to motivate the team?
I don't know if I ever have. I have. What is it this week?
5 minutes.
We're underdogs? We're good. All right. Just wrote my Saturday night speech. I'm good. No, I've never used it, but I'll just say this. We're nobody's underdog. So if you need a quote.
We're nobody's underdog. That's my coach getting it done. Mike McCarthy, early candidate for coach of the year, overcoming all kinds of adversity with a backup quarterback 3-1 and now heading out there to knock off the heavily favored defending Super Bowl champs. RC, I only have you for another minute because you got to run over to the first take stuff today. So what are your thoughts? How do you like Dallas this Sunday in Hollywood?
I love Dallas. I think when you look at Dallas, what Dallas can do in the rush from a four-man front, also the way Dan Quinn has been implementing blitz to add to those packages, I think they can be phenomenal defensively. And also offensively, we're seeing Ezekiel Elliott. We're seeing Tony Pollard, Michael Gallup last week, CeeDee Lamb playing more like a number one, even though we're getting a couple of drops. I think this team is actually getting better. This team is continuing to ascend. Also, you think about Kellen Moore and the way that he's adjusted around Cooper Rush and the way that he's moved this offense around to put him in spots that he can succeed. I feel like they've learned so much more about this team and who they can be going forward with Dak Prescott. But when you look at this weekend, the Dallas Cowboys are the favorite to me. The Dallas Cowboys are the better team. And the Dallas Cowboys, dare I say, are the better coach team. When you look at the way that these coordinators are manipulating the chess pieces that they have at their disposal, both offensively and defensively, I don't know if there's a coaching staff doing a better job of working with what they have. They've moved Micah Parsons around. They found ways to work around Cooper Rush offensively. I think this team is a team that once they do get Dak Prescott back, they could be in the hunt to be a serious playoff contender. But for now, they're one of the best teams in the NFC, and they go get a win in Los Angeles, in which Chris already told y'all is going to be a home game.
I love it. All right, RC, you are the best. I have to let RC go because he's going to be a part of First Take there in Orlando for HBCU Week. Ryan, you're the best. Thank you, my man. Have a wonderful weekend.
My we man, will continue
the discussion here. David Pollack, let me come to you on this game because we've not yet heard from you. And on the Cowboys in general, this is a team that everyone but me wrote off after week one when Dak Prescott got hurt. Now they're riding a three-game winning streak and they're heading to L.A. What do you think of the Cowboys?
Man, Greeny, you got some excitement in your voice about those Cowboys. Who have they beat yet so far? Have they beat anybody with a winning record so far yet, Greeny?
They beat the three teams on their schedule. That's who they beat. They beat the three teams that they've played since the quarterback got hurt. It wasn't their decision who they were going to put on the schedule. This isn't college, like where they schedule all the directional schools and everything. They played three NFL teams with a backup quarterback. Damian Woody's up here putting the thumbs down, ending their season, and they are alive. And I'll tell you what else, Pollack. When they get Dak back, the Cowboys are a Super Bowl contender in the NFC. That's what I think they are. Do you?
I mean, you know what's amazing about that? Nobody's happier than Stephen A. Smith that you would say that. So you can just bring those Cowboys right back up and get those inflation and get that hope and then just so maybe they can disappoint you in the end. Listen, I like what I've seen from the Cowboys. I think Cooper Rush has done a great job. Most importantly, not turning the football over. I mean, he's done a great job staying within himself, making plays when they need to. I just want to see it against a good defense. And I think they'll get it this week with the Rams. I think the Rams will pressure him. We'll see if he can really play under duress with Aaron Donald getting his face. I think it's a very, very low-scoring game this weekend, but I will give credit to what RC was saying. I think Dan Quinn, you know, he used to just bring pressure. Now, more disguise. He's doing a better job of, you know, fooling people, too, with that defense that they have and the personnel that they have. They're playing great. I expect a really, really low-scoring game. But I think the Rams this week, the Eagles next week, we're going to find out how good the Cowboys really are.
Perhaps. And if they're doing it with their backup quarterback and they don't find a way to win this weekend, then they're still 3-1. I mean, they still have overachieved relative to what the expectation was, and they set themselves up with their quarterback back. Brooke, there is one thing that I have noticed, and this is why I said this earlier this week. When they win, Kellen Moore is doing an unbelievable job. You said that a minute ago. David Pollack, Dan Quinn doing an unbelievable job on the defensive side. If they were losing, we'd be firing Mike McCarthy. He really is kind of in a no-win situation. We give him no credit when things go well, but he's the one who can't get it right when they lose.
I mean, welcome to being a head coach. Isn't this like what it's all about? I mean, I go back to me, the biggest thing is how they've managed this quarterback situation with Dak out. I'm not going to give Jerry Jones what he wants. I know that he likes the drama. There is no quarterback controversy here. That being said, I talked with the defensive coordinator, and he told me that he likes what Kellen Moore has done for Cooper Rush. He thinks that he is game planning better for Cooper Rush because they're not putting all the pressure on Dak to be Superman every single play. Not every play has to go out there and be a touchdown play, and that's how Dak approaches the game. So with Cooper Rush, they're saying, you know what? We're going to take what the defense gives us, get the ball out of your hands fast, and just be efficient and don't turn the ball over, and that's what they're doing.
Let's put the picks on the screen while Canty gives us a thought. How do you see this one?
No, I'm agreeing with Brooke and with RC. There's been a significant shift in the Cowboys' offensive philosophy. If you look at week one, they only had multiple tight ends on the set. 15% of the time. Since Cooper Rush has taken over, that's doubled. They have multiple tight ends on the field 30% of the time. What that does is to help protect the edges of that offensive line, those young tackles that they have out there, but then it also gives them a little bit more punch in the run game, especially with capturing the edge and Tony Pollard with those perimeter runs. So I think that philosophy has what's led to Cooper Rush keeping the football out of harm's way, and that's what I think this matchup is going to come down to. Which quarterback can take care of the ball? Cooper Rush, no turnovers since he's been the starter. Matt Stafford, 7 turnovers in 4 games. Too much.
You see the picks on the screen, read them and weep. I'm on Dallas as well. I switched back now that I see someone is on the Rams. I couldn't live in a world where we had every pick down there say the star because it's bad luck. Meanwhile, we got a huge weekend ahead, and look at the slate. The baseball postseason begins today. We have all 4 wild card series highlighted by the Phillies and Cardinals 2 Eastern on ABC and Padres and Mets tonight primetime. Great day of baseball on ESPN. Tomorrow, full college football slate, Red River Showdown, Texas and Oklahoma, and then Monday Night Football, we have the Raiders and the Chiefs. A huge weekend of sports coming up from ESPN. And speaking of an outstanding lineup, take a look at the celebration they have going there. First Take is coming up next there at HBCU Week at Disney World. They'll talk about Russell Wilson. Ryan Clark is there. Stephen A., Molly, and company. It's going to be a very special edition of First Take. Top of the hour here on ESPN.
Nothing like it.
8 teams, 4 series, best of 3. The wild card series begins Friday on ESPN and ABC.
All right, here's what's at stake. Yankees await the winner of Rays Guardians. Astros will play the winner of Seattle Toronto. National League, the Braves are waiting for the winner of Phillies Cardinals. And the Dodgers will play the winner of Padres Mets. The Mets are the biggest favorite of any team to come out of this first round. And once again, here are the times for today's games. It starts in Cleveland at noon Eastern on ESPN. Then to St. Louis we go, 2 Eastern on ABC. Mariners Jays at 4. And then Padres Mets primetime tonight. ESPN, ESPN Deportes. And all the action is also available on the ESPN app. Okay, in the 1 minute that we have before we give way to First Take, we spent most of this morning on what has been a very disappointing start and a terrible night last night for the Broncos and Russell Wilson. Final word, Chris Canty. What is your sense of where they are right now and where it might go?
Well, listen, Nathaniel Hackett is on deck. I know we got baseball playoffs getting ready to start. Yeah. But Nathaniel Hackett, you're on notice. If this doesn't get better, you're going to lose your job. It's a lot easier to get rid of the coach than it is the quarterback that you just paid $1 billion to. If they can't clean up their mistakes in the red zone, being able to score touchdowns rather than field goals, it's going to be a bad look for the head coach. I don't know if he can ultimately survive.
A reminder that the new ownership group did not hire the coach. They did pay the quarterback. Final thought, Brooke.
I need Russell Wilson to be real. I need him to show fire, to motivate this team, to bring them together. Enough with the platitudes. Enough with the let's ride. Right now, he is as genuine as a live, laugh, love sign at Home Goods. I need him to really motivate everyone to come together.
Okay. And on that note, our Football Friday is behind us, but a very special edition of First Take is coming up. It's HBCU Week at Disney World. Stephen A. and company are there. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.